Case number 225625, Day Cab Company, Inc. versus Prairie Technology, LLC, et al. Argument not to exceed 15 minutes per side. Mr. Vow, you may proceed for the appellant.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Donald Vowell, Knoxville, Tennessee, representing the Day Cab Company, the appellant. So, and I am asking for 2 minutes of rebuttal.
Fine.
So, we have a Lanham Act case on trade dress, Day Cab conversion kits, near exact replica. Nobody can tell the difference as they're going down the road, and it's dismissed on summary judgment. So I'd like to talk about two things. First, we're here on summary judgment, so I do want to talk about the evidence, whether there's any evidence from which a jury could reasonably determine that this product is not functional. And second, I'd like to take a look at five or six of what I think are the most important cases on the subject, including four from this court. So first, turning to the evidence in the record, I think that we're all agreed that expert testimony is not required. So I want to start with Mark Wagers' two declarations. The defendants filed a motion to exclude some of his testimony, but very little was excluded, and nothing was excluded that had anything to do with functionality. So we have a lot of evidence in the record that the product is not functional. So,
if I could ask, in your answers to interrogatories, as I understand, you did say that the added depth and the angle back or slant back design were functional. Am I right?
They have a functional element, yes. The slant back allows for the attachment of the shock absorbers that are in some of the cases, in a few cases when people want to do that. But you can allow for that space in any number of different ways. It can be a different angle, doesn't have to be a 100, that's a very odd angle to have to copy. It could be any, nearly.
The 144 degree angle, is that it, that was involved?
Yes, 144 degrees. And you don't have to, you, if you wanted to, you know, you have to use a slant back. You could, you know, box it off or, you know, anything. But if you did want to use a slant back, you don't have to begin it at the 6-inch mark. And you don't have to, again, it doesn't have to be that particular number of degrees. As far as the depth, yes, of course, you have to have some additional depth if you want to have an extended cab conversion kit that, you know, you can push your seat back a little bit further. So, however, you don't have to have exactly the same depth as the day cab kit. It could be 4 inches, it could be 8 inches. It doesn't have to be exactly what the day cab kit was. So we do very, you know, and like many of the other cases, there's there is a functional element of these. And obviously the primary function is that it converts the sleeper unit to a day cab, you know, but it, you know, the design that day cab uses, and the other side always says, oh, it covers the hole, completely covers the hole. But the day cab design doesn't completely cover the hole any better than any other design would.
So I guess what I'm having trouble figuring out is if there's certain things that need to be accomplished by this design, and you say in your answers to interrogatories that those two, the depth and the angle, are functional, but you can say that they can be designed in different ways. So how do we decide whether this is a jury question or not on functionality?
I think the court has decided that is if it's essential to the, that's, I guess, goes back to the Inwood case, the U.S. Supreme Court, if it's essential to the operation, if it's essential, or if that's the reason it works. That those are the two phrases that I think hold true throughout all of the cases. If it's essential, if you couldn't have a day cab conversion kit without copying this design, then of course it's functional. But we know that the other two competitors in the field, they have very functional day cab conversion kits, and they do not copy the design. They have a completely different design. So it seems to be pretty clear that this particular day cab's design is not essential. If it was essential, everybody would have to copy it. But they don't. And so, the FiberTech kit is very different. The Peterbilt factory kit is very different. But the Prairie Tech model is virtually identical.
So is there a case that you would point to that would say if other competitors can make very different designs and fulfill the same need of covering this area, that then someone who copies or who's, not to use a loaded term, whose design is very, very similar to your design shows that that is not functional?
Yeah, I think I would first look at, as I mentioned, there are five or six cases that I would look at. They all go to that point. And they're all different factual permutations. They're all trying to figure out the Zebco fishing rod, for example. The cover of the Zebco reel is functional. You have to have a cover, but you don't have to have the same exact cone shape that Zebco had. So that was found to be not functional. Then the Ferrari case, that's this circuit. The body of the Ferrari is, of course, functional. You have to have a place for the people to sit. You have to have a place for the engine, a hood, a door, and everything. But the body lines and the specific design of the Ferrari are not functional.
How does your case fit with the Ferrari? I think that's a good example to take up.
Uh-huh.
Because it seems to me that the Ferrari case is readily distinguishable because it is a known manufacturer of a luxury product, and it's the design itself that people look to and expect from Ferrari. But I thought the day cab kit's goals were to do the same thing, to each, all of them, was to blend with the truck on which they are affixed to, and then even to be painted so that the color is the same as the truck that's there. So how does that type of blend in kit, even if it has different measurements, function like Ferrari, where it is the flashy public image that the trade dress is purposefully for?
I don't think that our side said that our goal was to blend in. I think that came from the other side. Our side said, Mark Wagers, I designed this thing to be distinctive in appearance. And, I tried different angles. I tried different radius, several different ones. But I just didn't like the way that they looked. And so so he settled on the 144 degree slant back, and he settled on the, for example, the 1.5 inch rolled edge. The rolled edge goes all the way around the perimeter, and of course it has to follow the perimeter, but it doesn't have to have a 1.5 inch rolled edge. And so I think that the Ferrari case is very similar to our situation because...
Help me understand then why the purpose is to select a paintable model that would be painted to match and blend in with the truck, as distinguished from, say, the flashy design of the Ferrari that is distinctively known as its product.
Well, the color. This is one of the. I know you can't see it from but, you know, it's a different color.
They were in the brief. Yeah.
And so the Mr. Wagers did not want something. He very clearly testified in his. Or stated in his declaration that he wanted something that would be distinctive in appearance that people would recognize. And so that's just like whoever the Enzo Ferrari or whatever his name is, he wanted his product to be distinctive in appearance. And so Mark Wagers wanted his to be distinctive in appearance so people would recognize it and know that it was his. And so, you know, we...
But isn't there also information in the record about by people who testified that someone would bring in a kit to be installed or would say they needed one of the kits and the different kit was ordered. Isn't there testimony that they ordered it because they couldn't tell the difference?
They couldn't tell the difference between the day cab kit and the Prairie Technology kit. That's the problem. The Arville Lewis, the gentleman who founded Fibertech, he says, you know, I can't tell the difference as they're going down the road. And nobody can. And that, again, that's we're not here on just confusion, product confusion. We're here on functionality. But the particular design, it doesn't make it fun. It's not the reason it works.
I thought that testimony just cut both ways.
Well,
you said it was an unfair reusage of your concept, but it seems to me that the difference is measured in degrees, not 144, a different one from 144, or size or the location of the indentation so you could have the air brakes.
Yes.
Tell me your best case for why you think those things are not a functional question.
I think the Leapers case may be, I don't know which, if I start saying which is the best case, the court in Leapers said, and that's the most recent case here, in Groeneveld we found that each of the design elements either reduced production costs or augmented the usefulness of the grease pump, but not every case is so clear-cut. So I think we have at least a jury question here. The knurling on the rifle scope. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have to have knurling on a rifle scope to twist it so you can grip it. But you didn't have to have that same exact pattern. And that's the same thing I think we have here. We have to have a little space at the bottom clamping on those things, but we don't have to have a 144 degree angle, just like we don't have to copy the knurling pattern in the Leapers case.
Do the other companies that you didn't sue, do they have an angle like the 144 degrees?
No, Your Honor, no.
Do they have any? Is there straight? I'm looking at various photos.
They look very different. They don't have anything like a slant back. They just look completely different, and that's our.
So if they don't have a slant back, why do you need to have a slant back?
You don't.
So you're saying this is just design. It's like it's like the design of the Ferrari.
Exactly. You do need to be able to clamp on a shock absorber, but you don't have to copy the exact design of the day cab.
I see your red light is on. Unless there are any other questions, we'll
thank you
let
very
you save
much.
Your time for rebuttal.
May it please the court, my name is Steve Landon. I'm here from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. My colleague Jim McCoon from Chattanooga, Tennessee. We represent the defendants, Prairie Tech LLC, Big Truck Parts LLC, Bill and Wanda Osman. Your Honors, this is a Lanham Act case. It's a trade dress case. It is not a patent case. It is not a copyright case. You'll notice from our briefs and in my argument today, we lean heavily upon this court's decision in the Groeneveld case. And I take from the court's questions that it has read these materials and understands those issues. And Your Honor, I'm going to quote directly from the Groeneveld case because I think it's instructive and it hits exactly what we're here today on. And in that case, this court said, the key issue in this case is whether a company can use trade dress law to protect its functional product design from competition with a, quote, copycat, unquote, design made by another company when there is no reasonable likelihood of that consumers would confuse the two companies' products as emanating from a single source. We hold that it cannot. In so holding, we affirm that trademark law is designed to promote brand recognition, not to insulate product manufacturers from lawful competition. Your Honor, there are a number of differences between these cases, or our case, and the Groeneveld case. First of all, the Groeneveld case clearly was a direct copy. In fact, you had an employee from Groeneveld who went over to Lubicor, and then a product that ended up looking exactly the same.
Well, arguably, yours looks exactly the same as Daycab's.
Certainly, and you know, Judge Stranch asked exactly the right question. The reason they look exactly the same, although the dimensions aren't the same, is because they're intended to be blended into another product. And the Ferrari case is exactly the right case because in that case, remember, it wasn't strictly functionality. Obviously, the things that go into designing a vehicle need to be functional. The vehicle needs to get from point A to point B. With a Ferrari, maybe much quicker than something else. But what that design did was go to secondary meaning, because the design pointed to the source of the product. It didn't call out the design features themselves. It didn't call out how neat it looked. What it did was told people that that's a Ferrari. And here, these design features, there's no evidence in the record. And the district court relied on functionality, but one of the next step is secondary meaning.
Well, on functionality.
Yes.
Why, explain exactly your position.
Sure. The position is that all of the design elements that go into creating this purely functional product are functional in and of themselves. For example, the angle that you were just discussing mm-hmm. with counsel. In order for, first of all, the first evolution of this product was that the cap, this panel, was attached directly to the back of the truck cab, and it was flat. Everybody's was flat. The record indicates that all of the manufacturers had a flat panel. In fact, some of them still do.
Yeah, so why, I don't sure. understand why the 144 degrees right. is functional.
Sure, and I'll explain that.
Okay.
Because when information from drivers got back that the flat didn't allow them to take their seats all the way back, they needed to have a bump out. And so what Bill Osman did, absolutely separate, and there's no evidence it wasn't separate from day cab company. He's all the way across the country in South Dakota. There's no connection between the companies. He didn't come from one to the other. He measured how far back a seat could go so that the driver could pull his seat back. And it was a little over 5 inches. But you still had, at that point in time, this was the early 2000s, you still had this air ride suspension right at the bottom of the cab on the outside. So he just simply went back, went 5.5 inches back, and then randomly picked an angle that worked with the fiberglass mold.
But how, I mean, it just seems sure. odd that your angle is 144 degrees and
sure.
the other side's angle is 144 degrees and the bump out is 5 1/3 inches.
Right. The bump out is easy because that's how far back the seat will go. And so in order for the driver to get all the way back and be able to have the room that he wants, and I think in the record there's a picture of the back of the cab is taken off and you can see the seat hanging out. Bill Osmond's testimony, and there's nothing that disputes this in the record, is he simply took a ruler and measured how far back he needed to go.
Is there not testimony in the record, am I remembering this incorrectly, that the Osmonds ordered one of the day cab kits?
No, Your Honor, that's an interesting point. The allegation was that the Osmonds ordered a day cab kit. The Osmonds disputed that, and in fact, the sales receipt that the plaintiff in this case submitted was to an entirely different person who ordered a day cab kit at a location in Sioux Falls. Where the Osmonds are. And in fact, it's the address where the Osmonds have property, but the Osmonds didn't order that kit.
But isn't that a fact question this is a summary judgment. We
sure
can't take your sure. position as undisputed.
Right, but the point being, Your Honor, whether or not they had a kit at some point or not, the Osmond's testimony, and it's supported by Dr. Wanling's testimony, the design engineer, is that the 144 degree design isn't a random, just out of the blue. It is a manufacturing angle that allows the product to be taken out of the mold readily, and also then goes to being able to paint and sand. Versus, for example, a right angle, where it's more expensive, more difficult, more time-consuming to sand the product and to then paint the product.
But
go ahead.
Well, what about the names? I mean, I find the names a concerning issue. We have a name of Fat Albert, and then this new product comes along, and it's named Cousin Albert,
sure.
and Uncle Albert, and Fat Boy. All of which are clearly plays on the same name. I would like an explanation for that, if that's not just reusing or trafficking on someone else's known reputation.
Sure. And Your Honor, that goes, I think, would go directly to the factors that the court would consider under a likelihood of confusion analysis. It goes beyond the functionality part. Remember, functionality and secondary meaning are part of whether trade dress is protectable under the Lanham Act. And then whether there's been infringement is a question of likelihood of confusion. And that analysis would then go to whether any customers who saw those names were confused as to the origin of the product. And, Your Honor, I'd submit that the record doesn't indicate any confusion by customers.
The concern is also it's an indication that would support the argument that the 144 degrees was also taken, as opposed to merely selected by measuring behind the chairs. I mean, that a jury could decide that, couldn't they? That the names were used, the same 144 degree angle was used.
Sure, the jury could decide that all of those things, names aside, unless all of the design elements that we're talking about here, not the names, I credit the court with that issue, but the design elements themselves being functional and being dictated by functional imperatives to make the product function the way it had to. And again,
why is the 144 a necessary functionality? Why not 145 or 130? I did not have the impression from your opposing counsel's argument that the 144 was selected based on measurements. It was selected based on, I don't like that angle, it's too pointedy, do it, choose a different one and give it to me.
Right.
And then that's the very one that your client chose.
Right, and it is true that the angle, the 144 degree angle is the same. But interestingly, Bill Osmond's testimony is that I chose that because that worked the best in the manufacturing process, strictly functional. Now, in response to that, Mr. Wagers has said, I just like the way it looked. That's exactly the testimony that the Groeneveld court didn't credit. What it said was, and I'll quote, Lennard does not stand for the proposition that the bare act of putting a manager on the stand to claim non-fiction functionality is just sufficient to create an issue of fact. If that were the law, any plaintiff could get a jury trial on the issue in question by simply mouthing the legal conclusion that its product design is non-functional. Remember, in Groeneveld, the owner said exactly the same thing, Your Honor. I just like the way this looked. It looks cool. It looks good. The court went beyond that to say, okay, but everything you're talking about is functional. The size, the...
Why is it... I keep right. getting back to these other companies that did not do this and have functioning day cab extensions, whatever you want to call them.
Sure. And that's a good point, Your Honor. I would direct you to the traffic's case where once you determine that it is functional, not that it's the only way it could function, but that it is functional, the design elements you're talking about are functional, alternative designs aren't entitled to be speculated about. And in fact, the Supreme Court in traffic said, we're not going to go back to that. And then this court said the same thing in Leapers. So, Your Honor, the testimony in the record is that the 144 degrees, like the angles around the side, like the distances, like the 5.375 inches, the testimony is that's what was necessary to make this product function the way it was entitled to or intended to function. Not the only way. There's no allegation by either DeKalb or Prairie Tech that there aren't other ways to design this. But the cases have said once you determine that those elements are dictated by functional imperatives, that we don't look further into whether there were alternative ways to accomplish the same tasks. And so that's how I'd respond to that, Your Honor.
And you've mentioned Osmond as one basis for your conclusion that it's functional. Is that the only basis?
No, Your Honor. We also referenced the expert testimony, Dr.
Wandling,
from his product design and machining background, education, training, specifically allowed by the court.
But that is a question before us on appeal as to whether or not the district judge was correct in allowing Dr. Wandling to testify as an expert. Why isn't that an incorrect ruling by the district court, which we would review for abuse of discretion, I guess?
Understood. And I would agree with you that the standard is abuse of discretion. Clearly, under Rule 702, there's a broad discretion given to the trial court. In this case, the evidence before the court was that Dr. Wandling, through his training and his experience and his work in this case, by examining these...
But his training and experience have nothing to do with this kind of matter, right? He's just a general engineer.
Your Honor, I would disagree.
Okay.
The evidence in the record shows that he is a product design engineer, a machining engine expert, and a machining of products expert, which is what this case is. We're talking about manufacturing of a product for a specific use. And his background...
Did he have any background in fiberglass or truck extensions?
Well, he wasn't asked that question, Your Honor. His resume doesn't go into that detail. He was not deposed in the case. So instead, what he offered was 40 years of experience as a licensed professional engineer, specifically for product design and machining design. He wasn't asked the question, Your Honor, so I can't represent to the court one way or the other. But he did not indicate in his report any lack of familiarity with either the manufacturing processes here or the materials involved. And in fact, he specifically talked about the manufacturing necessities of being able to remove products from the mold and the fact that these angles allow for the easy in and out. Now with that
there
being
be
said,
other angles.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. But again, then we're getting into alternative design. We're getting into traffics and we're saying, now, okay, could he have done it differently? Let's say, to your question, Your Honor, let's say it's 145 degrees or 142 degrees. Would it have functioned noticeably differently? With respect, that's not what the cases require us to look at. It's whether these elements function as intended, whether they were dictated by functional imperatives.
Is the distinction here between the protection of trade dress and the protection of a patent?
I think it is. Your
that's your argument, is that in the trade dress world, we are in the functionality test. Had you been in the patent world, it might be a different matter.
Yeah, exactly, because, Your Honor, the patent world then exists where you have to go in and show the novelness and that you are you merit the monopoly that you're going to have in that product for
and
years.
And your client is the one who holds the patent.
There is no patent at issue in this case. Our client previously had a utility patent.
A utility patent.
Yeah, but this is not a patent case. It is, however, a fact in the record that these, you know, very similar design, it was a flatback at that time. So I don't want to mislead the court. There was not the bump out angle, but did hold a utility patent in a day cab. And Your Honor, frankly, if I can finish answering that question.
Yes.
Okay. Your point earlier about the names and how they give, you know, potentially color the question, the fact, the allegation here has been that Bill Osmond copied this, that he didn't have an idea on his own, he just copied it, which, by the way, you've read the cases, specifically in the trade dress arena, copying is not disfavored. In fact, it says it lends itself to competition because of the functionality that provides the consumers. Here, though, that patent that Bill Osmond clearly had way back in the year 2000 shows he wasn't running around looking for people like Mark Wagers to steal ideas from. This is a guy who designed his own product. He came out with his own market. And to the extent that then goes, I think, weighs against this being a guy who was out copying. So thank you. I appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honors, I would like just to tick off two or three points.
Before you do that, what do you see about this argument that we're not entitled to look at alternate designs?
I don't know why they would say that, because this court has said in the Leapers case, the court looked at alternative design. For example, the court said there was a wide range of strong hard-wearing designs that would not increase cost. Same here. and the variety of knurling patterns that can be applied to an adjustment knob is effectively unlimited. And that's what Mr. Wager said here. So there's no, and I think I get mixed up on which case is which, believe it or not, but this court said, I think, that we haven't completely, abandoned alternative design, because in many cases it is considered. So that is my thought on that. The allegation that the court was asking about with the other product that was ordered, the story on that is, and this is just facts in the record, there was a product ordered and delivered. It was the Mac conversion kit delivered to Mr. Osmond's business address. And not long later, he started manufacturing a lookalike Mac kit. So that's just the facts that were in the record, delivered again to the same business address. I think I just heard counsel say that the 144 degree angle allows the product to be taken out of the mold, and that's why Mr. Osmond supposedly, of all angles in the world, selected a 144 degree angle, because it's easy to get it out of a mold. So somehow it's much easier to get it out of the mold than a 143 or 133 angle. But we're here on summary judgment. Mr. Wagers, who's designed thousands of these things, and not designed thousands, but built thousands, taken thousands out of the mold, he says that just isn't true. They're no more easy to get out of the mold.
Thank you. I see your time is up.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you both for your argument, and the case will be submitted, and the clerk may adjourn court.